Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview today. This is Dr. John Coben, your Tyranny Response Unit, responding to tyranny at your pleasure, at your beck and call here at the Tyranny Response Network. Glad you joined us this morning. Currently, everywhere in the upstate, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson, well, Clemson's 1 degree less, but all about 72 degrees. Showers likely today with a chance of thunderstorms this morning, then showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. That means it's going to be wet, I think. Highs in the mid-80s, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. A chance of rain is set at 70%. So be prepared for that wet weather as you're making your way out. This is the 14th day of July 2005, and it's another great day on the Christian Worldview Show. We've got so many announcements I need to correct. I better do it right away, otherwise I'll get carried away like I did yesterday and miss half the announcements. Remember that the Institute on the Constitution is going to be meeting again in August. Starting August 6th, it'll go for 5 consecutive weeks, and it'll be concentrated, not drawn over 12 weeks like it was at Pelzer. This will be hosted by Bible Baptist Church, 2522 Gentry Memorial Highway in Pickens. You can give Mark Dibbler a call at 421-2714 if you're interested in attending, 421-2714. And that'll be starting on August 6th and going through September 3rd, 8:30 in the morning until noon on Saturdays. We also have a change of venue this evening for the meeting for the Libertarian Party. This is a last-minute change. I know, folks, if you've been listening, and you've been thinking, well, I'm going to go to the Prime Sirloin. Well, guess what? They pulled a change on folks at the last minute. Hope it's not too inconvenient for you, but hope you get the message. Tonight, it's going to be held at the Malden branch of the Greenville County Public Library, the conference room, 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And that's located at 800 West Butler Road. So you want to get off at Malden Road exit towards Malden, or the Lawrence Road exit towards Malden, and head downtown to Butler Road. That's where the Greenville County Libertarian Party is meeting tonight. Don't forget the change of venue, please. And what else have we got? Well, let's just break into a story here. Our producer brought in a great story, great point. Thought we'd probably go ahead and read this one first. This is out of a magazine, page 16 of what magazine is this? Oh, here it is, Every Thought Captive, a publication of the Highland Study Center. And the title of this issue is called In Praise of Ignorance. Oh, I wonder if some of our other folks in the local area, radio broadcasters would like that. There's a festival of ignorance going on right now somewhere, I know. Anyway, brothers and sisters, says R.C. Sproul Jr. This is R.C. Sproul Jr., not the main guy, but his son, apparently. Many of you heard the rumor of a few years back that Jane Fonda had become a Christian. Many of the crows who scoffed at this claim when it first came out have now come home to roost. It seems Miss Florida recently spoke of this faith, on a national television and went to great lengths to uphold her leftist credentials, while at the same time spewing some sort of New Age hoo-ha. Just as I was content, unlike many, to accept her profession of faith when it first came out, so now I am content to take her at her words and conclude that her conversion was spurious. What's puzzling to me, however, is why she hasn't shown the same grace as our president. Why is her ecumenical, can't we all get along gobbledygook proof of her unbelief, while our president is given a pass when spouting the same nonsense? I suppose, dreary as it is, that I know the answer. The pressing issue is determining the credibility of one's faith isn't what you proclaim about Jesus, nor even the fruit that you show forth, but which way your politics lean. Republican ignoramuses are just poorly educated Christians, while Democratic ignoramuses are the spawn of the devil. I believe that in the grace of God, if he is mighty enough to rescue me, then certainly he has the capacity to save a Democrat or two, and maybe even a few Republicans. As I recall, R.C. Sproul Sr., his dad, was a major supporter of Michael Perutka and the Constitution Party. I remember getting a pre-election bulletin from him saying, look, you can't do this you can't go out and sell out and vote for George Bush. It's wrong, it's sinful, etc. I thought it was a great piece that Sproul wrote. Didn't do a lot of good, obviously. Apparently, people don't vote according to what Sproul says, but unfortunately. But any rate, interesting article this morning. Don't you think it's true that the President Bush gets a pass for all his so-called Christianity and his foolishness and his ecumenicalism, his being a United Methodist and giving lip service to Christ? I had was sitting with a relative just last week, and she was saying she really resented my criticism of George Bush because he was a brother. And I thought, you know, what kind of evidence do you have to show this? I mean, a lot of people can make claims to being Christians. Mormons claim it. You know, all sorts of people that we know have false religions at any rate. Why George Bush? Why should I believe the United Methodist or whatever he may tend to be tomorrow, who is holds the faith with a loose hand and obviously doesn't apply it to his life, in his public life, at any rate, as a Christian? There's no reason to believe that, as far as I can tell. And yet she was very infuriated that her president was being criticized, who was clearly a brother in Christ. Well, this is silly, and I think Sproul really points this out well. It's a good point. It's a double standard, once again, among evangelicals. And what's worse is the evangelicals that continue to support him and his wars, foreign policies, and domestic policies. Just insane. They just go right out on the neocon edge and say, hey, this is a great deal. Let's keep old George Bush in there. Now, well, we have a few disagreements with Bush, but in general, we think, you know, he's the president, and we're going to respect him, and we're behind him, and what he's doing is good, and blah, blah. Bunch of nonsense. Well, you know, it's always good to start the morning off by bashing George Bush. I mean, what better things have we got to do than that? It's always good stuff. I've got a host of stories that we're going to go back over. I'm going to try to get to some of these today. We have so many things that came in, different folks writing in on different issues. Here's one. Cover-up of the number of U.S. soldiers killed in Iraq. This is from globalresearch.ca, Center for Research on Globalization. This looks like a Canadian research site. This is published by a guy named Jesus Davila in El Diario from Puerto Rico and the Coastal Post. He says, official U.S. government reports on soldiers under U.S. command killed in Iraq are so fragmented that they account for less than half of the total number, according to information uncovered as part of an inquiry by the government of Puerto Rico regarding the total number of Puerto Rican war casualties. This analysis was confirmed by El Diario La Prensa's view of multiple documents, including the official reports issued by the U.S. Department of Defense, the Iraq Ministry of the Interior, and more than 230 battlefront reports, which reveal that more than 4,076 troops under U.S. command have been killed in 799 days of battle. This information contrasts markedly with the limited information on casualties generally issued by the U.S. military authorities, which focus on the U.S. uniformed troops. These total 1,649. Military affairs expert Jose Rodriguez Beruf of the University of Puerto Rico said that figures show more than 4,000 dead indicate far from winning the war in Iraq. What's happening is that the troops are being worn down. He said the traditional terrorists calculate that for an armed invading force to win a guerrilla war, its casualties should be 1 in to 10 of the enemies. In this case, that would require 40,000 casualties among the insurgents. In addition, Rodriguez Redruf warned that reports should be reviewed on an ongoing basis, as he suspects that the number of casualties is even higher. Calculations are more difficult when it comes to the wounded, which the U.S. authorities number at more than 12,600, and medical discharges, those maimed or suffering from physical or mental injuries, about whom only partial reports can be obtained. In this category, large discrepancies in counts have been publicized by news outlets such as the National German Press Agency, which ran a story reporting on the U.S. Army documents putting the number of U.S. soldiers with war-related mental ailments at 100,000. That issue is more controversial. The Argentine press agency, Argent Press, reported about 17,000 and reported cases of war-related mental illness, but no matter the scenario, the numbers of wounded and medical discharges are larger than the officially announced, as is the case with casualties. Well, this is an interesting point. You know, why there could be underreporting of these numbers, and this is, you know, the press in other countries, obviously, or even in Puerto Rico, thinks that these numbers have been underreported. How much are underreported, I don't know, but the U.S. government doesn't gain votes or prestige or popularity, or any member of the government doesn't gain those things by having lots of people come back in body bags. And that's, I'm sure, an incentive for them to underreport these numbers. It's an interesting thought and interesting news story for us to know about here. We always are your alternative news source here on Christian Worldview. Don't you forget it, and you probably haven't. But we're glad you joined us this morning. We'll help you think better and brighter today. For right now, we're going to go to a break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a second.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with a government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question." And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Here's another news story, news headlines. British ministers may table new anti-terror powers. The British government is prepared to bring forward new emergency anti-terrorism powers if needed following London tube and bus bombs, Tony Blair said. This is actually back a couple days ago. The Prime Minister told a somber House of Commons that police investigations into the attacks last Thursday was among the most vigorous and intense of this country has ever seen. Earlier, Chancellor Gordon Brown pledged, "We will do whatever it takes to whatever necessary to defend the people of this country." While Mr. Blair and Mr. British government would analyze very carefully what could be learned from the bombings, he stopped short of promising the inquiry called for by the Conservatives. Well, interesting. It sounds like there might be some cover-up of the Bush variety going on over there in Britain. Wouldn't surprise me. Why would I put Blair and his any better character than George Bush? I don't think that I would. Then there's this film that came out that is really quite shocking. This someone had forwarded this to me. I think it was listener Charles, who said it was a short video on London bombs and the Trade Center bombs. And I watched this video from Prison Planet yesterday. It's a very long link, and we may be able to get Rip and Richie to put something on the webpage with this video just to see what you think about it. It's fairly short, but it gives you a real compelling case, I suppose, for all sorts of controlled demolitions going on at the World Trade Center, showing the bombs exploding at different spots. Much clearer to me, any rate, than the Alex Jones piece that I saw on his webpage. Maybe Alex Jones has a more clear movie elsewhere, but they quote all these firemen and news reports that were actually published in the press and on NBC, indicating that other bombs were going off in the building besides the plane hitting it. And the whole jet fuel story seems to be really, really unlikely. There's a quote in there from the architect of the building and the civil engineer saying that the steel that was used was of a grade to make sure it would withstand a fire of 2,000 degrees for more than 2 or 3 hours before it would actually cause the structural integrity to be lost in the steel. And that means since the fuel burns at 1,400 to 1,800 degrees, it never even got hot enough from the jet fuel, and certainly didn't get hot enough for a long enough period of time to cause the steel to buckle. Now, here I am speaking about structural engineering. I know nothing about structural engineering or about chemistry or any of those fields that would require metallurgy. I don't know what it is to make these kinds of determinations. I'm just reporting what the film said. You can find it at prisonplanet.com under the article section from July 2005. Where they have the controlled demolition. So go to prisonplanet.com and you'll see it there. Speaking of things that are on the website, I want to remind you to go to our website, that is the tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net website. Go to the related media and scroll down to the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. So far we have about 238 or 240 people who have signed the petition. And recently, Republicans and Democrats once again have signed it, so that's good to see a few other people coming in besides just those of us who are considered on the far right of things. We need more and more folks to sign the petition. Also, go there and send the link to other people. Copy and paste it into an email message. Send it out to as many people as you can. Let's get thousands of people signed up behind the Fundamental Rights Petition in South Carolina and really make some movement, if possible, and in the legislature here. Get active in your world as a Christian. Be somebody who makes a difference. I don't know if we'll win, but we won't. Certainly won't if we don't try. You got to get up to the plate and bat sometimes. Even if you strike out, well, maybe you do, but you can't hit a home run sitting in the batter's circle. So, by the way, who won the All-Star game last night? Did I miss that, or was it the night before? I guess I did miss it.
American League.
American League won the. Oh man! So it's going to be another one of those American League ballpark sort of deals during the World Series this year. That's good news. See, I'm so far behind. I'm trying to get caught up in my news, and I even missed the All-Star game. So it's hard. It's easy to miss when you don't have a television in the house. I have to admit that. But I do like to at least read the sports page on occasion. And, well, wasn't able to this time. Anyway, go to prisonplanet.com and check that out. It's a very interesting. And go to our website, tyrannyresponse.com, and check out the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. See what you think. And it'll help you think a little different. Don't be scared, you know. Even if it's false and all this stuff, it's not going to hurt you to watch it. But if it's true, it's going to be very important for you to know something about it, especially if you've been a George Bush supporter and it turns out that he really was behind the whole thing to some extent, as FDR was at Pearl Harbor. Okay. Anyway, we also have let's skip to another article or two here if we can. Here's another interesting announcement. Pleasant greetings to one and all, and I hope that you had a wonderful 4th of July holiday. I would like to inform you of a public meeting scheduled for July 16th, 2005. For those making plans to attend the meeting, I would suggest that you arrive no later than 9 a.m. We will conclude the meeting before the lunch hour is over. There are numerous eating establishments in the immediate area. The location and directions are given below. What is this meeting about? Well, I'll tell you in just a second. They're going to have Susan Valentino, PhD, a disease prevention specialist with training in biomedical nutrition, We're also going to have James Short, MD, a classically trained medical doctor. He will narrow some of the topic in his presentation to the area of type 2 diabetes. And we have AJ Lanigan, who will follow the two fine doctors and discuss the newest product in his line, Insulade. This product is safe and benefits supportive health glucose management, helps to optimize healthy cholesterol levels, helps to maintain good cardiovascular function, and offers a great antioxidant protection. Learn about the ingredients contained in this product with the research support of the USDA and many university-based studies. Have a happy day. The directions are the Wingate Inn, to the Wingate Inn in Greenville, South Carolina. You can simply call 864-281-1281. That's 864-281-1281. Where is the Wingate? That's over on Orchard Park or something like that?
Pelham Road.
Oh, it's on Pelham Road. Okay. Oh, down by California Dreaming and all that area. Well, if you, so near I-85 in Pelham is the Wingate Inn. Hope you can make it out there. They're going to be having some interesting discussion about diabetes. If you want to hear an alternative way to control glucose levels and so forth, please do attend July 16th. That's this Saturday at 9 a.m. at the Wingate Inn. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Notice it's time to take another quick break, and we're going to go ahead and do so, and we'll be back shortly.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Here's a few other things going on that we need to mention to you. We've been remiss on doing so because we've been so carried away with good stuff recently. Hate to always get bogged down in these news stories sometimes, but it's part of the Christian worldview, cut of our life. Yeah, some people actually wrote me the other day, said, look, Dr. Coben, this is not really a ministry, what you do, because it's not going door to door and preaching the gospel to people of salvation. Well, you know, yesterday, by the way, I did mention the way of salvation once again and encourage people to trust in Christ, but I'm going to tell you something. The gospel is far more, folks, than simply telling people about Christ, their need for a Savior, the need that for them to repent and believe in Him as Lord and Savior. It is a way of life. Christianity, believe it or not, is a lifestyle. That may be hard for some folks to believe. Well, I thought I just did my Christianity on Sunday when I went to church. I checked in, listened for the preacher, and then I went home and did what I want. Well, unfortunately, unfortunately, that is the Christian lifestyle today, for the so-called Christians, at any rate. But Jesus calls us to be those who transform our world, to get involved in every area, wherever God may call us, whether it be in the natural sciences field and dealing with creation issues, whether it may be in the medicine field, whether it could be in public policy, as I am, or economics. There are all sorts of areas in which we can be endeavoring to promote the truth. The truth is important in every field, in every endeavor, and it's important that we bring biblical principles to bear upon the world and upon its systems and upon the different activities that men undertake. So we're encouraged at Christian Worldview to be part of promoting the Christian worldview, not simply the gospel message of salvation from sin, but how Christians ought to act in this world. They're simply not to sit around and wait for the rapture and be passive and simply witness to people and not be worried or concerned about the world around them. This is not what God calls us to do. This is a spurious idea, folks. That means false idea. It's also a specious idea. That means something purported to be genuine, but really is not. It's really a fake. It's a counterfeit gospel that's come up in the last century, which has been heretofore unknown in the history of the Christian Church. Well, here's a couple other stories here. With this one about CAFTA, the House of Representatives is set to vote on CAFTA as early as July 19th. That'd be Monday. As with NAFTA, GATT will miss the named with the misnamed Patriot Act and other massive pieces of legislation. It's doubtful that more than half a dozen of members of Congress will have read the 765 pages of the text for CAFTA they plan to saddle us with yet. Another destructive trade treaty that will further gut our critical job bases. Enough is enough. Well, there's some doubt about this job loss business in my mind. Although, you know, there's certainly some truth to all of those things. I'm not sure that's the main reason we'll support. In fact, I'm sure it's not the main reason we oppose it. CAFTA is an internationalist program, a New World Order program that's trying to subject the sovereignty of the United States to an international or multinational board, effectively, or government, a super government for the hemisphere. And because of that alone, and its compromising nature towards the freedoms of Americans would enjoy, it needs to be opposed vigorously by us here in South Carolina, or anywhere for that matter. And so we need to keep this in mind. You need to write to the congressmen and senators. And right now it's simply just to write to Inglis and make sure that he will abide up in the upstate, at least, and not vote for the CAFTA project. The Senate's already passed it, and Bush will no doubt sign it if it gets through the House. So, unfortunately, and it's there, and it could be devastating potentially to America and our liberty here. So keep that in mind the next few days on this CAFTA measure. We also have here someone who sent in a South Carolina blessing. Thought this was cute. This was listener Brad who sent this in. South Carolina blessing. Note, if you're not from a resident of South Carolina, or never have lived in the hot, humid South, you may not understand the weight of this blessing. Bless this house, O Lord, we cry. Keep it cool in mid-July. Bless the walls where termites dine while ants and roaches march in time. Bless our yard where spiders pass, fire ant castles in the grass. Bless the garage, a home to please, carpenter beetles, ticks, and fleas. Bless the love bugs, two by two, the gnats and mosquitoes that feed on you. Millions of creatures that fly or crawl, and Carolina, Lord, you've put them all. But this is home, and here we'll stay, so thank you, Lord, for insect spray. You know you're in South Carolina in July, when the birds have to use potholders to pull worms out of the ground. The trees are whistling for the dogs. The best parking place is determined by shade instead of distance. Hot water now comes out of both taps. You can make sun tea instantly. You learn that seatbelt buckle makes a pretty good branding iron. Ooh. The temperature drops below 95 and you feel a little chilly. You discover that in July it only takes two fingers to steer your car. You discover that you can get sunburn through your car window. You actually burn your hand opening the car door. You actually break into a sweat the instant you step outside at 7:30 a.m. That happened to me last night. I took a walk at 10 o'clock at night and I was just drenched with sweat and I got back in 30 minutes. Your biggest bicycle wreck is, or fear is, what if I get knocked down and end up lying on the pavement and cooked to death? You realize that asphalt has a liquid state. The potatoes cook underground, so all you have to do is pull one out and add butter, salt, and pepper. Farmers are feeding their chickens crushed ice to keep them from laying broiled eggs. The cows are giving up evaporated milk. Ah, what a place to call home. God bless our state of South Carolina. Now, I understand it's worse in other places than Greenville and in the upstate. The upstate, we're a little closer to the mountains. It's not quite as bad, but from somebody from the true South like me, you know, Southern California, this is really rough weather here. But I understand Columbia is the worst, and even Charleston is pretty bad. Or anywhere, as long as you're not right at the beach, it's just as bad in Charleston as Columbia. And that's cute. So we appreciate Brad sending that in. It's always enjoyable to hear a little bit of humor now and then. And that brings us actually to the top of the hour, doesn't it? You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Time just flies when you're having a good time. We'll be back right after this break.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben after that very long break full of all sorts of great information, namely the Bill of Rights. Isn't it wonderful to hear once in a while the Bill of Rights? Well, I hope so. Hope it is to you. Hope you love liberty enough that you want to be reminded of these things. That's why we take the time to play it here on the air, and we'll try to be playing that at least once a show for a while, and just remind you of those great themes from our Constitution, the First Ten Amendments, the Bill of Rights. Greenville, Spartanburg, currently at 73 degrees at the airport. Downtown Greenville, 72, as is Clemson and Anderson, as are Clemson and Anderson, all at 72 degrees. Showers likely today with a chance of thunderstorms this morning, then showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Highs in the 80s, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of rain 70%. So be prepared if you're making your way out to work for some wet weather. Here's an article that came out in the Christian Science Monitor. Florida tries to quiet down boom cars. The Sunshine State passes a tough new law as the national fight to reduce noise rumbles on. Miami, it's summer. It's high summer in Miami's world-famous South Beach, and the sounds of the season are pumping from the open windows of cars cruising past the cafes and bars of Ocean Drive. Along with perfectly tuned, toned roller skaters and attractive young Latinas, rap music that blares from car stereos and rattles windows has become a hallmark of one of America's trendiest strips. But now a new state law is turning down the volume on Florida's notorious boom cars. Any driver who plays loud enough to be heard by police officers standing 25 feet away is at risk of receiving a $70 ticket. Previously, the measurement was 100 feet. Well, this is an interesting thing for Christians to discuss and others who love liberty, because there are two things which can infringe upon property rights that we normally cannot control. One is random light photons, and the other is sound. For instance, if we believe in private property and we want people to own their property privately and have no regulation as we do and no taxes on that property, having a completely allodial system, what do you do when you have a situation where you got somebody that wants to put up a big neon sign advertising his house of prostitution next door or something like that that you have to see? Or maybe he wants to put some main screen up there, some huge big screen for everyone to see in the neighborhood of something filthy. Well, we can stop this simply by using restrictive covenants in private areas. You can buy property that has a restrictive covenant on it that prohibits those kinds of activities, and that's how the market would handle these things. But what do you do in the so-called public areas where government owns the property? Very difficult to deal with, because there really is no one who has an incentive to place restrictive covenants on things, and you end up having a bunch of restrictive laws, and there's no end to where restrictive laws stop. You know, they'll start regulating all sorts of things. What can be bought and sold on the beach? What can be worn on the beach? Or I suppose in case in Miami, probably what isn't worn on the beach. And it'll depend on the politicized process, you know, who's in power at the particular time, what gets passed. If you go to beaches in other areas, by the way, just speaking of vendors, like in Chile or anywhere, almost anywhere in South America, there are people regularly walking around with sacks full of goods, ice cream or Coke and trinkets, beach toys, things like that. And they'll walk up to you just sitting on your towel, and they'll try to sell you something. A lot of people buy stuff. It's real convenient. It's usually pretty inexpensive. That sort of thing you don't see up here in America, and that's the kind of thing that would be subject to regulation. So it's an interesting question from a Christian worldview point of view, is how do you deal with private property use when you have so much difficulty with things or something so objectionable as loud rap music, people being inconsiderate and so forth? It probably isn't the best thing to do in having police or the state try, certainly not the state, but using a proactive policy to try to force people to change their behavior. It's much better to get people to tune down their boxes by other means, market-based means, either by you setting up your own big amplifier and just preaching at them, or perhaps just preaching to them privately and putting the social pressure on them and say this is an appropriate behavior. And quite often that works better than people think. It really is quite a powerful tool. But those are just some interesting ideas I'm throwing out. You may have a comment about that. If you do, make sure you give a call. I hope our phone number has been playing. I think it has been today. If you want to give a call to the show, 864-244-8177 or 864-244-6955. Confederate will remain in the name of the Vanderbilt dorm. Time to move on, university says, of losing a 3-year legal fight. The words Confederate Memorial Hall, words that evoke images of slavery for some people, yeah, whoever, and fallen heroes for others, will remain inscribed in stone at Vanderbilt University building after a 3-year legal battle. Vanderbilt decided to not accept a state court order ruling the Nashville school either to keep the inscription in the building or pay damages that could have topped $1 million to the United Daughters of the Confederacy, university spokesman Michael Schoenfield said yesterday. The UDC's Tennessee division raised $50,000 during the Great Depression to help pay for the building, which is part of the former George Peabody College for Teachers at the time. It vigorously challenged Vanderbilt's plan to remove the name in 2002. Peabody merged with Vanderbilt in 1979. Interesting that that's happened. Good for the UDC keeping that up there. Vanderbilt, of course, is long gone as a university. It's as liberal as anything else out there. We also have vitamin bans are now on the horizon, and people are asking for you to call Congress now. News Reviews reports that American people are once again about to be denied the right to care for our bodies the way we want to and be managed by the big pharmaceutical companies. The warning about Codex has been out there. I've been following it closely, says DV Kid, because it negatively impacts tens of millions of us who use supplements and don't run to the doctor for every little thing. And people are trying to get government regulation for vitamins. They're currently regulated as a supplement only, a food supplement, and therefore just like any other food product. And now they're going to be regulated if Codex gets approved and can come through here into America. They'll end up doing the same thing with vitamins as they do with pharmaceuticals or any prescription drugs. You have to go see your doctor to get it. It'll have to be approved by a doctor before you can effectively take it. So that is a scam and a sham. We don't like seeing that much regulation come off. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. A little bit late for this break, and we'll go to that now and come back in just a couple minutes.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Have you been knocked hard in the school of government indoctrination? Recovery is closer than you think. Listen to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville.
There's a constant tug of war going on for the hearts of minds and men. This is Brian Morton from Christian Libertarians giving us an encouraging remark. When we're playing tug of war, we always choose the largest and heaviest man to be the anchor. I believe this is the position Christ took when faced with the legalists and self-proclaimed holy men of his time on earth. He was gentle with the common sinners, but when it came to those in power, he never met them halfway. I believe that it is very important for us as Christians and libertarians to be the anchor man. Having ideals that are viewed as unworkable, fringe, or downright crazy shouldn't stop us. Christ was ridiculed for his ideals and what he said and did and being who he was. What he said and did and being who he was. Okay, that's what he's ridiculed for. If it is not my lot, if it is my lot in life to be so as well, then I should take it graciously. I have my own personal battles that I fight, my own demons to destroy. There are many ways. There may always be a gulf between who I am and what I want to be. I have faith that the Holy Spirit is working on me, and I hope he never tires of the work. Until he perfects me or this body wears out, I'll keep plugging away, and maybe something I do will glorify the Lord. Well, and I appreciate Brian's comment there. Of course, people from different persuasions that are always considered extreme have the same kind of hope and comfort that Jesus Christ suffered the same fate on the earth. In fact, I wonder sometimes why it doesn't bother the mouthpieces of the world, especially of the Christian world, in our local stations or the James Dobsons, that they become so popular and so entrenched in the popular politics and so forth that nobody finds their message to be truly offensive. It may be one side or the other, but it's not truly radical or just out there. And they become so popular, but they realize what they do is they become something different than Christ was on the earth. What has changed about the circumstances of the world that makes them believe that they can end up being different than their master was in terms of being ridiculed and so forth? The Apostle Paul didn't meet with much graciousness when he was in the world either, nor did Peter and John, as far as I recall. But yet many Christians today think that they have a different sort of lot because of their standing in America, perhaps, or because they live in a different society, a different age. I don't know. But at any rate, interesting food for thought there. And appreciate Brian Morton bringing that up. I want to remind you once again, this month's meeting, business meeting of the Greenville County Libertarian Party, as noted on the calendar on the TyrannyResponse.com website, has been moved. If you're going to be attending that meeting tonight at 6:30, it's now going to be at the Malden branch of the Greenville Public Library on Malden Road. So make note of that this evening. The venue has changed. You'll need to go to a different spot. Malden branch of the Greenville County Library, the conference room there, and meet there with the other libertarians this evening. Should be an interesting meeting if you can make it out to it. Okay, we also have a few other things going on. Here's one. Department of Revenue employees among the 2,209 people filing fraudulent documents. A handful of Georgia Department of Revenue employees were among the 2,209 people filing fraudulent tax returns during the recent filing season, the agency reported. The 10 employees were caught claiming unauthorized dependents. All resigned or were fired, said Revenue Department spokesman Charles Willey. The employees must also reimburse the state $4,042. Wiley said criminal charges may be filed over some of the 2,209 fraudulent returns, which totaled about $2.8 million. The tips on fraudulent charges came from tax preparers, other tax preparers, and banks. Wow, there's a list of enemies for you. Tax preparers, other taxpayers, and banks. Bummer. Wow, informants. You talk about traitors in your midst. Well, I guess you can expect that out of banks and people who make their living off the swine's blood. These kind of people, yeah, you know they're going to do it, but why other people? Why would you ever think about turning in someone you know, or even your own enemy, to someone like a tax authority? Pretty bad. You got to be much a low life to do such a thing. It's no doubt self-righteous and thinking you're doing justly or something like that, but you really aren't. That's a very, very nasty thing to do. Love does no harm to a neighbor, the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 10, and that should be our rule for life. And of course, that's not presuming they're Christians, these people that turn other people in. And maybe they weren't. Maybe they were just pagans out there just wanting to be vicious. Who knows? Sadistic kind of people. Interesting that they don't have to obey their own rules at the higher levels, but if they don't try to obey the rules at the bureaucratic levels at states, then they get slammed for it. Interesting. Washington, as London recovers from its latest deadly al-Qaeda attack that killed at least 50 top U.S. government officials, are contemplating what they would consider to be an inevitable and much bigger assault on America, one likely to kill millions, destroy the economy, and fundamentally curse fundamentally after the course of history, reports Joseph Farah's G2 bulletin. According to the captured al-Qaeda leaders in the documents, the plan is called the American Hiroshima and involves the multiple detonation of nuclear weapons already smuggled into the U.S. over the Mexican border with the help of the MS-13 street gang and other organized crime groups. How organized is MS-13? Would they even know what a nuclear bomb is if they saw it? Well, I don't know. Maybe they're just going to be the thugs. Well, we certainly hope this doesn't happen here. Wouldn't be surprised, based on the way we treat other people, the U.S. government treats other people around the world. The story continues. Al-Qaeda has attained at least 40 nuclear weapons from the former Soviet Union, including suitcase nukes, nuclear mines, artillery shells, and even some missile warheads. In addition, documents captured in Afghanistan show Al-Qaeda had plans to assemble its own nuclear weapons with fissile material it purchased on the black market. In addition to detonating its own nuclear weapons already planted in the U.S., military sources say there are also evidence to suggest Al-Qaeda is paying former Russian special forces spetsnaz to assist terrorist groups in locating nuclear weapons formerly concealed inside the U.S. By the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Osama bin Laden's group is also paying nuclear scientists from Russia and Pakistan to maintain its existing nuclear arsenal and assemble additional weapons with the materials it has invested hundreds of millions in procuring over a period of 10 years. Well, appreciate Juliet sending in that news story. I don't know what to think about it. It seems like just a lot of conjecture to me. I certainly hope it is. I would hate to think that we'd be in the middle of a nuclear strike here by anyone. I don't believe that our own government would be stupid enough to let off a nuclear bomb. You never know. They might. I can just see them blowing up Des Moines or something, or why not Greenville, some small town, just for the sake of trying to go ahead and get some more power and activism in the world. But it seems like that would be so extreme. They wouldn't have to do that. They already got so much just from doing a couple of towers, if they were in fact behind it at the World Trade Center. At any rate, interesting thought. Hopefully there are not people smuggling over nukes over the Mexican border that know how to use them and plant them. But what can we say? These people are just trying to retaliate against what's happened to them. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Time for another break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Welcome back to the show. Here's Representative Ron Paul, our favorite congressman. What should America do for Africa? At the G8, this is posted on lewrockwell.com, by the way. At the G8 summit in Scotland last week, we heard once again how the wealthy nations of the world have not done enough to raise Africa out of poverty. At the Live 8 music festival that preceded it, we heard angry demands for justice, not charity, in Africa. Implicit in such demands is a collectivist fallacy that wealth is a zero-sum game, and that, therefore, Western prosperity is possible only at the expense of African misery. As usual, Americans and other Western nations are portrayed as villains who somehow conspire to keep Africa poor. The White House attempted to quell criticism that America is not doing enough to save Africa by announcing that the U.S. would double its economic aid to the continent from $4.3 billion to $8.6 billion over the next few years. Neither Congress nor the American people were consulted prior to this pronouncement, I might add. I think the Republic might not share the administration's generous mood, especially as we spend billions in Iraq and face single-year deficits of $500 billion. Frankly, a federal government with nearly $8 trillion in debt is no business giving money to anybody. Great point. Well, I just want to comment also on his issue about the zero-sum game of wealth. That's an important aspect of Marxian doctrine, and really not just Marxists, neocons. A lot of people believe this, that essentially the world is a pie of wealth, and you can slice up the pie any way you want. If America gets a bigger slice of the pie, someone else has to lose somewhere along the way. It could be in Africa, it could be in South America, it could be in the Far East, wherever it might be. The fact of the matter is that wealth is a spiral. It's not a pie diagram. It's like a spiral that people come up with new ideas, new ways to make stuff into different forms, whether it be microchips or air conditioners or new cars that have different features. And we feel richer or more content or less uneasy, as the economist Mises likes to put it, by virtue of the fact that we've invented a new way to arrange stuff. And by arranging stuff in a new way, these raw materials and resources that we have and applying our mental ingenuity to things, we end up creating more wealth, things that people want. And the wealth is a never-ending spiral. We can become richer and richer than a free market process without end, and there's never anyone else who gets hurt in the process or doesn't benefit. And there's not one person's gain as another person's loss. That is the case, by the way, in all crime. And when you're a criminal and you go into someone's house and take their jewelry and go out, it's a true loss. The pie's been cut up differently. It's a true loss to that person, and the criminal gets a true gain. The same thing is true with politics. All of politics and the whole redistribution of wealth is confiscation from innocent people of their money. They take the money, they put it into a pie-shaped diagram, and then they divvy it up. And whoever can lobby the best or... you know, whoever's the person that is owed a favor by some government official, they get a piece of it. And basically, if you take a larger share, that means something less for somebody else out there. So in terms of government policy and in terms of crime, which are both very similar, obviously, it is a pie-shaped diagram. But in terms of the economy, it's a pure spiral. And we can have wealth generation and increases in wealth for everybody, both parties and all parties in exchanges being better off simply by free markets and exchange. So appreciate Ron Paul's comment on that. And we shouldn't be doing anything more for Africa than we are currently doing. In fact, we should do a whole lot less. There's no advantage to us just throwing away money to other countries. Let them stand on their own 2 feet and have their own free markets rather than dictators propped up by us through these different plans that governments or state leaders like Bush pronounce and promise. Here's another article on deadly immunity, originally published in the Salon.com on June 16th. Tobacco science and the thimerosal scandal. In June 2000, a group of top government scientists and health officials gathered for a meeting at the isolated Simpson Wood Conference Center in Norcross, Georgia, convened at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The meeting was held at the Methodist Retreat Center, nestled in a wooded farmland next to the Chattahoochee River, to ensure complete secrecy. The agency had issued no announcement for the session, only private invitations to 52 attendees. They were high-level officials from the CDC and the Food and Drug Administration, the top vaccine specialist in the World Health Organization in Geneva, and representatives in every major vaccine manufacturer, including GlaxoSmithKline, Merck, Wyeth, and Aventis Pasteur. All the scientific data under discussion, CDC officials reportedly reminded the participants, was strictly embargoed. There would be no making photocopies of documents, no taking papers with them when they left. The federal officials and industry representatives had assembled to discuss a disturbing new study that raised alarming questions about the safety of a host of common childhood vaccines administered to infants and young children. According to a CDC epidemiologist named Tom Verstraeten, who analyzed the agency's massive database, contained the medical records of 100,000 children, a mercury-based preservative in the vaccine's thimerosal appeared to be responsible for a dramatic increase in autism and the host of other neurological disorders among children. I was actually stunned by what I saw, Verstraeten told those assembled at Simpson Wood, citing the staggering number of earlier studies that indicate a link between thimerosal and speech delays, attention deficit disorder, hyperactivity, and autism. So here we have vaccines in the news again. These things that are just supposed to be so helpful to folks may end up being deadly and causing all sorts of problems. No surprise there. Anytime government runs a program like this or has its friends being paid off in the forms of getting the government contracts and so forth, or even things related to that or similar to it, having this sort of corruption in it. Not a surprise to us here at Christian Worldview. Just wanted to let you know what was going on with that. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's a bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Great to hear the Bill of Rights again. Every once in a while, I want to tune our listeners up to make sure that they're running on premium here. And I can do that by reading things like the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. Just as great for the, it's great for the soul. Greenville-Spartanburg Airport, 73 degrees. The rest of the upstate is 72 degrees right now. Showers are likely with a chance of thunderstorms this morning. Then showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Highs in the mid-80s. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain is 70%. So if you're still making your way to work, you probably already know it's raining. Or on your car, it's going to be raining at any rate shortly. We have a few more stories we want to try to get through here today, but I do need to make a couple of announcements. One is about the Libertarian meeting tonight. Are you tired of politicians who raise the taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting Libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other Libertarians? You will find there are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at, this evening, the Malden Public Library Conference Room on Butler Road in Malden. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join them for a meeting for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street in downtown Greenville. They would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. I want to also invite you to go to tyrannyresponse.com, where you'll be able to find all sorts of events at the calendar below. The bottom of the page always updated. As you can see, we have this evening the Libertarian Party business meeting. Tomorrow, the Carolina Patriots meeting in Fountain Inn. The related media tab will give you information about great periodicals like the Times Examiner, the First Freedom, and the Nationalist Times. Make sure you read what's available there. The Times Examiner is a great paper that has all sorts of good columns in it, including my column regularly, Page 10, Ben Graydon, Stephen Yates, other upstate favorites, as well as nationally syndicated columnists like Walter Williams, Marvin Alasky, and Charlie Reese. So make sure you get a copy of the Times Examiner at 44 Pinewell Drive, or have a subscription sent to your home. It's only $25 a year in-state, $27 a year out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576 for your subscription. 864-268-0576. If you'd like to place an ad in the Times Examiner, by all means, give David a call at 859-6817, 859-6817, and they'll get you all set up there and support a great cause as well as supporting your business by putting an ad in the paper. If you missed any of these phone numbers or details, by all means, go to the tyrannyresponse.com website or the tyrannyresponse.net website. It both goes to the same place, and you'll be able to get all the details of everything mentioned here on the show. Also, go to the Fundamental Rights Petition, Save Your Private Property. Currently, we have quite a few people who have signed, 238 people. We need more. We need you to sign as well as to tell your friends about the petition so they can go and sign it. Email them the link and have them sign it. Do your part today. Just take a few minutes of your time at the most to sign the petition and have it blasted out to 10 or 20 friends that you might have on your email list and ask them to sign if they live in South Carolina. Well, here we have some other stories coming up. Let me try to get right to a few of these things today. Morphing the Gestapo by Doris Combs. This was on lourockwell.com. Great site, by the way. There I was, a bratty independent kid with a twisted sense of humor who enjoyed doing illegal things. Entrance into any place at all, displaying no dogs or Jews allowed sign was fun, even though it was clearly understood that if discovered, neither dog nor Jew would ever be seen again, regardless of age. The best game of all, though, was diving into the Berlin Olympic pool and hiding behind my Teutonic looks, smiling innocently at the guards, but those men were just ordinary cops. When it came to the Gestapo, it was best to quickly and quietly disappear. Oh yes, the Gestapo meant business. When Benjamin Franklin said, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety," he was right on. In the 1930s, Germany's safety meant power. The popular sentiment was, power will keep us safe. After all, we are the good people, ones who want to clear the planet of the earth of all who hinder progress, of all who stand in the way of our good intentions. And the more power our empire has, the safer we will be, the safer we will make the world. The national slogan shouted joyfully in the streets was, after all, Heut Deutschland, Morgen die Welt, I guess, whatever that is. Translation is, today Germany, tomorrow the world. The Germans then willingly gave up essential liberty to purchase their safety of power, and the Nazis did an excellent job of facilitating that. They invented the Gestapo, which was an acronym for Geheimstaatspolizei, translation, secret police, secret state police, and the Gestapo was formidable indeed. Skipping down to the end of the article, she says, on June 14th, 2005, Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat from Illinois, compared the U.S. interrogators at Guantanamo Bay with Nazis and other historically infamous figures. By June 21st, 2005, he had been pressured by the administration to the point that he issued the following: "Some may believe that my remarks crossed the line. To them, I extend my heartfelt apologies. In this regard, Durbin represents the entire nation. All of us see what sits in front of us. All of us are aware that what's going on. All of us understand that our endorsement of the Patriot Act, the new FBI, CIA, does away with our essential freedoms, but none of us want to cross the line. Are we that close to the mentality of the German citizen of the Nazi era? Seems that way, doesn't it? Heil Hitler," she says. Interesting point. And Americans do sit glibly by while their liberties are trashed. Here's Gary North writing about the asymmetrical rhetoric of war and peace. Rhetoric is a technique of verbal persuasion. Those of us who favored limited government and extensive extensive self-government like to think of that logic as on our side. The problem is the rhetoric isn't. In 1947, novelist and advertising copywriter Dorothy Sayers wrote an essay that has become a classic, The Lost Tools of Learning. I first read it as an insert that was stapled inside an issue of National Review in 1961. In 1977, I reprinted it in an issue devoted to education when I was editor of R.J. Rushdoony's Journal of Christian Reconstruction. From there, the article spread into the homeschool movement. Her thesis is this: medieval trivium of grammar, logic, and rhetoric is essential for understanding education. Young children learn grammar rapidly and well, beginning around age 2, and sometime around age 10, they begin to master the art of logic. Finally, when they reach puberty, they begin learning rhetoric. They want to persuade their parents. They find that their logic is not sufficient. Sawyers did not mention two other facts. First, the schools of biblical interpretation have always been divided into three main camps: the grammatico-historical school, the school of theology, and the school of symbolism, which is better known as the allegorical school. And each of these factors is present in all schools of biblical interpretation, but one of them always predominates in particular in a particular biblical interpreter. Second, the same three factors are present in advertising, especially the direct response advertising: grammar, the offer, logic, the proof, and emotion. What of those who write direct response copy know from the years of measurable responses to our ads that emotion sells? Logic is there to justify the emotional commitment that a copywriter's copy produces to the reader. Rhetoric mobilizes emotions. Primary goal is to produce an emotional response that in turn produces a specific action. Well, let me go down to the end of his article and read a little bit further where we even see some highlights. Tax resistance becomes for the civilian what running away is for the soldier, an act of betrayal. This is why war is the health of the state. This is why Leviathan and Mars are always linked by a treaty of mutual understanding. He further says a little later on, businessmen come out of the World War II as Keynesians or worse. They would adopt and include that free trade is good because if you don't adopt it, the hand will get you. The problem is the Smith's invisible hand failed to persuade intellectual socialists who appeared soon after the world wealth of nations appear. They had abandoned the idea of providence. Smith's image failed to persuade them. They looked instead to institutional replacement for the non-existent deist god of the Scottish Enlightenment. They found one in the state, the visible hand, and that's when the chains of slavery came upon us. For people who cannot follow detailed chains of economic logic, the visible hand is more believable than the invisible hand. Conclusion, the case for peace is mostly logical. The case for war is mostly rhetorical. So men keep going to war. Individual power has a more ready market among political leaders than individual restraint. Mises understood, Ludwig von Mises, the famous Austrian economist, understood this when he gave a one-word answer to the question, what would you do if you were given complete power over the United States economy? His answer is, resign. And that's exactly what we would advocate as well, because there should be no one controlling the United States economy. Now here's, we got a couple more quick news stories. We're going to do these right after we take our last break. About Christian Exodus here, that's important. We're going to try to get to that. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad that you have been. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
We welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. There's a couple of notes the research staff sent me. They wanted me to let listeners know about Ohio. Apparently the public Put Parents in Charge Act failed there as well as it did here. And Ohio is moving forward with a choice-based education reform instead. seizing opportunity presented by Supreme Court decision in Zelman versus Harris. This is from a paper up in the Ohio area. And if it had passed, put parents in charge would have dwarfed Ohio's program, which would be the largest in the nation, surpassing the choice programs in Florida and Wisconsin. In fact, another story, Ohio has launched the largest voucher program. Sarah Anderson, Associated Press writer, says on July 2nd, it's a little bit old story, Ohio is more than tripling the size of its school voucher program, making the nation's largest since the practice of using public money for private school tuition was found in constitutional 3 years ago. Actually, tax credits are far better than vouchers, but tax credits without any strings attached. I mean, once they give you, government never is going to give you anything, going to give up its power or money or anything else without taking something back. I mean, you're going to give your left arm, but they're going to cut off your right. I mean, it's just the way it works. And so, unfortunately, you're in this world, the way things are with this state, we're not going to have much in the way of true justice. Well, here's a story about Christian Exodus. Christian Exodus sees upstate as the promised land. The group plans national gathering here in Greenville, hopes thousands move to reshape the state based on its religious values. This gives a July 12th story by Ron Barnett, a staff writer from the Greenville News. The Exodus has begun, he says. It began quietly in the house with white vinyl siding and a trampoline out back in a subdivision between Greer and Simpsonville. That's where Frank Janoski and his wife Tammy and their four children have come. They've left Bethlehem, Pennsylvania to be a part of the Christian Exodus. South Carolina may not be flowing with milk and honey, but it looks like the promised land to the leaders of this group, which hopes to relocate thousands of conservative Christian families like the Janoskis from across America to the Palmetto State. Their aim to tip the political scales, which they see has already weighted heavily to the right, further in that direction. Secession is a valid option, said Janoski, a state coordinator for the organization, but he hopes it doesn't come to that. If it's going to be ugly, why not? If it's going to be ugly and bloody, nobody wants that. He said, oh, well, okay, nobody wants ugly and bloody. I mean, secession sure sounds good, though. The group is recruiting more pioneers for this journey of faith than through its website and plans to hold a national conference in Greenville in October, which will include information booths, of local real estate agents, employers, and private schools, all the nuts and bolts needed for relocation. It'll also include the Tyranny Response Unit giving a lecture there. He's been invited to speak at that conference. The political strategy is support candidates on the first on the local level, school boards and the city councils, and then on the state level. The upstate has been chosen as part of the first phase of the relocation program with the goal of having 2,500 members in two yet-to-be-named counties by September 30th, 2006. And actually, that's just Greenville and Dorchester County. They have Dorchester being down by Charleston, of course. They have a long way to go. Only two other families have moved here since the Janoskis came 5 months ago, according to the 38-year-old self-employed electrical and computer engineer. The newcomers wouldn't run for office themselves, would help elect candidates who would think like them on abortion, outlawing it, and homosexual marriage, making sure it never becomes legal here, and Christian religious expression in government settings, taking away all restrictions. The underlying theme, is not so much religious as political, interposing the state's sovereign authority, according to the group's website. So, good article, but I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's a positive article in general coming out of the Greenville News, which is somewhat surprising, because does anything good come out of the Greenville News? Occasionally something does, apparently. Well, here's our final story for the day, The Regime Libertarians by Lou Rockwell. If you haven't heard this, it's really an outrage. It's a plan for dealing with the Iraqi fiasco that involves gradual withdrawal of troops from Iraq, only to station the troops in Turkey, Bahrain, Egypt, and Oman, followed by the new foreign aid to Iraq, at substantial cost to the American taxpayers, which is said to be essential for the creation of a viable infrastructure and dealing with the problem of widespread unemployment. Think New Deal, he says. We are told that the direct aid program will give Iraq vital assistance while giving the Iraqi people, through their government, control of the disbursement of funds. But surely the Iraq political situation provides an excellent illustration that government and the people are separate, not as united as some Roussonian fantasy. The plan further assures that the money will be spent, it will be used efficiently and effectively, sure, for the first time in the history of the world. As for infrastructure, there's nothing like a government project to hold back progress. It can only crowd out private suppliers. Same with government aid to cure unemployment. It's more likely to do the opposite by preventing market adjustment. Skipping down to the end in his conclusion, he says, what we need is libertarianism with a plan. is not libertarianism with a plan. There are too many good, there are too many regular politicians out there who have traded their love of liberty for a chance of gaining a hearing among the powerful. We need more laissez-faire libertarians who understand that society needs not top-down rule. No society in the world needs good government in order to be free. It needs sectors of society that government cannot touch. To be confident in the miracle of human liberty means having the courage to call for the government to do nothing but go away, and to do it now. By saying that, we can make a contribution to increasing the government's fear of public opinion, which is the best restraint on power. Is it asking too much that the Libertarian be part of the radical opposition rather than aspire to be part of the inner circle of power? Interesting food for thought. And we're going to leave you right there today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow right here at the same place and time on the Tyranny Response Network. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.